You know, we hear about a lot of fundraising events, obviously, and you know, I love to be part of as many as I possibly can. I know you do as well. And we'll hear about, especially in the fall, a lot of walk events, and we want to support them. This one, though, I think is very unique, and I think it's something that maybe a lot of people don't know an awful lot about. I started to honestly learn more about it because I have a dear friend who is very passionate about this, and it's alopecia. Now, if you look up U.S. statistics, it'll tell you about 2% of people across the globe actually will experience some sort of alopecia event in their lifetime. In the U.S., it is estimated about 700,000 people right now have alopecia, and that's according to a large population study. It's incredibly prevalent, and yet a lot of people don't even know how to spell the word, let alone what it really means. So joining me back on the show to talk about this, especially ahead of a big event happening in just a matter of weeks, we welcome back Julia Rachel. And Julia also happens to be a Laurelton alum, just like me. And that's how we got connected before then learning about her activism with this type of work. So Julia, welcome back. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Melissa. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I love chatting with you about this and honestly learning more about it because I can confess this, no problem, that I certainly don't know it all. And this is something that I really started to lean into, honestly, once I got connected to you. First of all, share with people why you care so much about this.
Well, I care so much about this disease because I have it. I was diagnosed when I was 18 years old, and I had the least severe form of the disease, which left me with just a few bald patches on my scalp. But within a year, I lost every single hair across my entire body, head, face, body, all of it. And so then I was at the most severe form of this disease. And for 3 years, maybe a little bit longer, I did not speak the word alopecia to anybody, not even my family, not my friends, barely to my doctor. I felt so much shame because it is a very like physical disease, but the emotional emotional toll of it is profound. So I felt so much shame and very isolated. I felt like I was the only person in this world who had this disease. And then once I started to find other people with alopecia and immerse myself into their community, I started to realize that there are many of us, but it's still not very talked about.
So, Julia, tell us from your standpoint, how does that even happen? You were 18 years old, which I would argue, I agree with you. I can't imagine the emotional toll. You know, again, you're a girl, I'm a girl, I get it. Your hair is an important part of feeling beautiful, feeling accepted, feeling like somebody will like you, feeling like friends want to be around you. I mean, I know we all look at, on average, I think if we're all being real with ourselves, we all want to say like, no, beauty is within. Okay. Well, listen, society is going to tell you otherwise. And certainly when you are talking about self-esteem and confidence and feeling like your best self, for some people, a lot of people, having what you would typically have at 18 years old, which is, you know, for a lot of people, a full head of hair, having that taken away in an instant has to be incredibly traumatizing, has to be incredibly earth-shattering. And if people, first of all, don't get that, I'm going to pray for you. But tell me how that even happens. Like, how did you discover at 18 that this was happening, and why did this happen to you?
So I had just finished my first year at Fordham University, and I went to just my regular hair salon to get a fairly touch-up highlight appointment, and my hairstylist, while sectioning through my hair, found a small bald spot and asked me if I knew it was back there. I did not. After that, I kind of didn't worry about it too much. You know, it was just one bald spot. My mom told me it happened to me when I was 14 and it all grew back. So there was no reason for me to be worried and think that this would be anything other than a blip. But then 2 months later, I would say the patches started to grow. And then I was in a very unsafe living situation at Fordham with a roommate who had been harboring some resentment against me and had no problem telling me everything that was wrong with the way I looked, which as I was struggling with my looks, that was very difficult. And then
I'm sorry that happened.
Thank Thank you. So through a series of pretty similar events to that, I decided that I was going to go the concealment route, and I was not going to talk about alopecia. I was going to wear a wig, and I would wear it like it was my real hair, like in the shower, asleep, swimming.
So how long did you do that?
Oh, I did that until my hair finally started to grow back 3.5 years later, and I still wore the wig while my hair was growing back in because it was growing in very short, and I've always had longer hair, so I wasn't ready to disrupt the illusion I had created through my wig wearing that I've always had this long hair the last 4 years. So that posed a whole another set of problems. It's like, how do I do this seamlessly and get the least amount of attention as possible?
But you don't know to this day, Julia, why you got alopecia.
It's an autoimmune disease, and that is the best answer that the doctors have given me.
Wow.
Just that basically it is when your body mistakes your hair follicles as invaders and attacks them. So they fall out and then they can't grow back, but they're still not sure much more than that. They know it's an autoimmune disease, and that's kind of where science is currently, but they've been working on it for thousands of years. So it's definitely a hard to understand disease.
Now, can it come back, Julia? So as you mentioned, which it sounds like unless I misunderstood you, it sounds like you're in a better place. Like, has your hair all grown back?
Yes, it has, which is awesome. And I am grateful every day. But the problem is my hair only stays when I take an FDA-approved medication for alopecia.
Oh, wow.
And many pharmaceutical companies and insurance companies even more so see this disease as very cosmetic. So getting
really
a new prescription.
An autoimmune, technically, disorder, right? I mean, that's what I would call it. How in the world does that come just because it's your hair? I mean, how is that different than taking, you know, treatment for cancer and you lose your hair? I'm surprised that it's not seen as an autoimmune disorder. That's what it is. I'm surprised by that.
Exactly what it is. And it's really weird because, you know, you would never deny medication to a diabetic or someone who has arthritis, which those are autoimmune diseases. So I really do think the fact that it's hair, which is more so tied to appearance, is why so many companies see it as cosmetic, which is endlessly frustrating and also making it very difficult for me to get my new prescription. So within the last month and a half, half of my eyelashes have fallen out, and I would say like 25% of my eyebrows.
Wow, Julia, this is fascinating. See, I tell you, every time I talk to you, I learn something new. So this is fascinating to me. So only because I have a little bit of background in health insurance. My father has a brokerage in Fairfield. They sell plans to people. So he doesn't have a health insurance, like he sells plans to people. But I know they've been having a hard time finding insurance carriers that will cover GLP-1s because it's not now for just diabetics. A lot of people are using it for weight loss. So I get that. I do understand kind of the, you know, when you look at the uptick in how many people now are using medication that used to be for diabetics, now they're using it for weight loss, it's a little bit trickier. Would there be any other reason other than to bring back the, or to, I guess, regain the hair follicle, like, you know, the reaction and all that, would there be any reason to take that medication other than to treat alopecia?
Yes. So the first medication I was on actually was an arthritis drug that could also treat alopecia because it is very recent. I believe it was 2022 that the FDA now has alopecia approved medication. So for a while it was working off other medications that might help. And that was even harder to get because I have alopecia, but I certainly don't have arthritis. And that was an arthritis drug.
But I guess my point was, is like, why I still don't understand why insurance or any, like, why any entity would see that as a cosmetic medication. You're not taking it to lose weight. You're not taking it to have clearer skin. You're not taking it, you know, you're taking it to grow your hair back. Like, to me, that's an autoimmune disorder. That is fascinating to me. So I've got questions that go way beyond this conversation, but that's crazy to me. So Wow. So it's hard to obviously get the medication. It's very expensive. And do you have to be on that for life?
So you don't have to be on it for life. I think it's, you know, each patient gets to pick. You do have to get fairly frequent blood tests just to make sure that everything in your body is okay and reacting well to the medication. But in my specific case, unless they find the cure, I imagine I will be taking this medicine for the rest of my life.
Wow. Well, that's why walks like the one that's coming up in September are so important. Walk for Alopecia. It is happening in Fairfield, September 26th. And obviously getting involved is important. But Julie, Rachel, why is it also important to really understand why you are walking? Because a big part of it is obviously it's a fundraiser. But the other part is also doing what you and I are doing. You're educating me. I'm understanding this a lot better. And I can create more advocacy when I'm equipped with knowledge. You know, that's got to be part of this as well, right? The walk for alopecia is not just to raise funds, it's also to educate.
Oh, yes. I would almost argue that it's more so to educate. I mean, the funds we raise are very important and they go to furthering treatments and hopefully finding a cure one day. But I would say just like being there and showing up and showing people who have alopecia that they are not alone, because that is a very big thing. You feel so isolated. So whether you show up having alopecia or just wanting to be there to support, I really think it almost comes down to just community and empathy. And the more that people can exist without their wigs and without feeling nervous and looking over their shoulder and just feeling like they can be who they are, whichever way they want to be seen, I think is the most important thing. And so and that comes through education, because a lot of people, my family didn't know alopecia was before I was diagnosed with it. And still some of them are like, oh, well, Julia just lost her hair, not realizing that it is so much more than that. Like it, the emotional toll is, I mean, you deal with loss of self-identity, loneliness, confusion, depression, anger, anxiety. There's a lot of embarrassment and even more self-blame, which to this day I can't understand, but I'm guilty of it too. I blamed myself so heavily.
Yeah, well, we tend to do that, right? We tend to be the most critical of ourselves even when we have absolutely nothing to do with circumstances that we're in. And so, Julia, Rachel, I want to thank you for, first of all, your advocacy, not just... It takes a really special person that when you're going through it, and I'm not here to judge anybody, when you're going through a hard time, to just sit in that and to just focus on you and what you need to do to be your best version of yourself, and maybe to keep it within your family or your close friends. That in and of itself is very brave. For you to advocate, to talk publicly about it, whether it's on radio platforms or to even host a walk that is really highlighting this and exposing it. First of all, it's an incredible vulnerability that you're sharing, and I want to thank you for doing that. But also I want to thank you for then not only talking about it, but doing something about it, because it clearly matters. I mean, the numbers support it, and certainly stories like yours, it should matter to people. So I want to thank you for that, because it takes an incredible amount of bravery to do what you're doing.
Thank you very, very much for saying that, Melissa. I'm just so honored that I could come on your show and just tell people a little bit more about alopecia than they might have previously known.
Yeah. Well, I certainly love learning about it, and I've put it on my calendar as well. Saturday, September 26th. It is from 9:30 to noon at Jennings Beach, right here in Fairfield. It is the Walk for Alopecia, and they're raising funds, and they're helping the world understand that this is not just about losing hair. It is so much more than that. And Julia, I want to thank you again. I do have a link here where people can register to walk and to get involved. I'm going to put that link on our website, voiceofct.com, under Melissa in the Morning. I also see your contact there. Is it okay that I share your email with people if they want to reach out?
Yes. Yes, I would love that.
Okay, then I'm going to do that as well. So for those of you at home who want to be a part of the Walk for Alopecia, it's happening on September 26th, right here in Fairfield at Jennings Beach, starting at 9:30. I've got a registration link as well as Julia's contact information. It's going to be up on our website with this podcast, voiceofct.com. Julia, Rachel, I want to thank you so much for connecting with me a while back and continuing to have these conversations on the show. It really matters. And thank you for being patient with me as I ask you insane amounts of questions, but I love to learn and I appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, it works out perfectly because I love to talk. So thank you so much, Melissa.
I think that was a skill they taught us at Laurelton. I do.
I think it was.
They produced a lot of talkers at Laurelton. I've noticed. Yes. I've noticed that.
Yes, they have.
Julia Rachel, thank you so much. And we will see you in September. Thank you again.
Thank you, Melissa. Have a nice day.
You too. And again, the Walk for Alopecia happening Saturday, September 26th at Jennings Beach here in Fairfield. We will have a link on our website to register. And of course, Julia's contact as well. If you want to ask any further questions, you can. Again, you'll find it all at voiceofct.com.